the Saints put out a new website celebrating our 50 years. And it's saints50.com. And it's a very, it's a simple website going back, giving highlights from 1967 to last year. It's very interesting for some people, like, you know.
It's the Saints highlights from 1967 to last year. And it's got about two pictures on it.
Until 2009.
Right. It's got one picture from 06 and one picture from 09.
No. But it's a pretty interesting website if you're a relatively new Saints fan or an ignorant one like the other guy on the podcast. You can go there, look it over. You know, if you're an older fan, you'll get to see some stuff that you remember. I'm curious on what, you know, I started roughly around 1986, 87, so that stuff really, you know, more jogged my memory. I vaguely remember Ken Stabler playing. I vaguely remember Bum Phillips.
I'll always remember that first playoff year when all the songs came out, and everybody was so happy that we finally made the playoffs.
That was 87.
Because I still remember getting the little mini record of the I Believe Saints Go All the Way and playing that song.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating, I'm going to go with a 1. I'm working on a bottle of wine. Just got back from spring break in Florida.
Hammered?
Nothing makes you feel old.
Did you go to Club La Vila?
Going to spring break in Florida. At my age.
You're right. It's like, who the hell is this old dude?
No, actually, I didn't go out. I hung out with my mom.
That's even
cooler. That's
your cold open, right? Another week passes by, which means another week closer to the draft, another week closer to training camp, another week closer to preseason, another week closer to the 2016 regular season, where the Saints obviously will start 1-0. After signing Nick Fairley, the Saints got dangerously close to the cap limit, but Mickey got a few team leaders, real team leaders, to help pull a rabbit out of their hat. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a 0, but I do have a drink. I got a little whiskey drink here going, so I may get up to 1 or 2 during the show, but that's about it.
All right. Well, good thing I had a number then to start.
Well, I had a long week down in Thibodeau doing my annual sugar mill audit, so I had a lot of food and drinks over the course of the last few days, so my body could use the rest.
Thibodeau. How is Thibodeau?
It's good. They did the tornado storm that Damon talked about a few weeks ago. A tornado hit down there, and man, there was some real damage down there. Actually got to see it up close when we drove in. A couple, like a place that I actually been to for lunch one time, was just basically the building was half gone. So it was just kind of wild to see. Luckily the mills themselves didn't get directly hit. That could have been a real disaster.
Yeah. All right, well, Damon, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Thank you. 0.
Even on a Friday night?
Yep.
Yeah, well, Damon's a loser. He doesn't do anything on a Friday night. Why would he drink?
Are you on call?
Yes, I'm sitting on here on a call with y'all two idiots. So I don't see Jason going out tearing up the town on a Friday night. He seems to be here on the phone with me. But he is correct, because I am the loser, because I'm talking to Jason. And anyone who associates with Jason is definitely a loser.
Hey, wait a minute. You're bringing me into this.
Well,
so much jealousy over there.
You shouldn't have to speak to him either, Jeff. I apologize.
What is the deal? All right.
I don't know. Something's going on over there. I don't know what it is. Something's going on.
All right, he's got it in for you. All right, so let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And our top headline, I'm going to go with Sean Payton agrees to the 5-year extension, roughly $45 million. And if you pay attention to the story, it's funny enough that there was somebody they were talking to who said that, you know, they were asking him about, well, not just Payton, but some media person. So a media person's interviewing a media person, because that's how they do things nowadays.
That's how it works these days, and then they tweet about it.
Right. The media person who asks the question says, well, what about all the speculation at the end of the season that Sean Payton was going to leave the Saints, and then all of a sudden now he signs a 5-year extension, blah, blah, blah. And the guy was like, well, you know, the all the stories were based on the fact that there were teams, there was a report that there were teams that were planning to kick the tires to see if they could get Sean Payton's attention. So if you really pay attention to that, so one team insider probably told a reporter that they would try to get Sean Payton's attention because he'd been with the Saints for 10 years, and you know, it's just natural that you would do such a thing. That turns into media reports of Sean Payton is leaving New Orleans.
Oh, but I thought it was because so he could be closer to his daughter.
Oh, well, once you go there, then you...
California, right?
Everything.
Oh, but then I thought it was because, oh, well, he loves the New York Giants. He coached there before, and he went to follow Parcells, and that's where he wanted to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or some other cockamamie
right.
answer. What's funny to me about a lot of this is, at that point, it was like, man, I can't believe Sean Payton's going to go. He would be, like, the hottest coaching commodity, and then we signed him, and then the same media people are like, this seems like a bad move. Why would you sign? We've only gone 7-9 the last 2 years. I don't understand why you'd give him all this money. It's like, make up your fucking mind, asshole.
He's the hottest commodity. We signed the hottest coach on the market, and it's a bad deal.
It's the media for you, man. Just get sick and tired of all that bullshit.
Damon, how do you feel about Sean Payton sticking around?
I'm happy about it.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of extensive coverage that you...
That's right.
analysis.
That's what you get from Damon's feeble little mind. I will say that I'm glad. I'm more than willing to ride this thing out.
Jason, no one cares. No one cares what you're more than willing to do. They really don't. Your opinions are just incredibly
stupid. Nobody's tuning in. They
really don't.
Nope. Damon's always going to bring it back to a fight. That's his deal.
You know.
Can't get within five minutes
because it's going to get edited.
No. Look, I don't want to. I'm not. I'm just going to.
Don't do what?
Nothing.
Don't do what?
Nothing.
Don't do what? Don't do what?
Nothing.
Don't do what? Don't do what?
Ooh, let me have some of that Cool Whip. What'd you say? You can't have a pie without Cool Whip. Cool Whip? Cool Whip, yeah.
You mean Cool Whip?
Yeah, Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're saying it weird. Why are you putting so much emphasis on the H?
What are you talking about? I'm just saying it. Cool Whip. You put Cool Whip on pie. Pie tastes better with Cool Whip.
Say whip.
Whip.
Now say Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip.
You're eating hair!
All right, no, seriously, I think this is a good thing, Sean Payton. I mean, we've been a little in a rut. I think that's fair to say, but I kind of feel like that press conference that he did, the hour-long press conference where he said...
The love letter to New Orleans after the season?
Yeah. I feel like, sure, teams reached out. Sure, he listened. Him and Mickey got in a room and said, all right, you know what, guys, let's draw a line in the sand. We're going to do this. We're going to fix this. We're going to get out of this rut. Or I'm going to leave, or you're going to leave, whoever said what. But I really believe that they're refocused. Of course, as a fan, I'm going to say that, but you got to believe it, right?
Well, look, after we've all said this, we all knew what Mickey Loomis and how complacent in it with Sean Payton, I don't know. It was the win now attitude that got us a bunch of bad draft choices, bad contracts, and bad free agents. You know, it was that win now mentality. Whose idea it was, I don't know, but Mickey Loomis executed it, you know, and that's his job. So if the two sat down, I don't know if fingers are pointed, but I don't believe Sean Payton ever wanted to leave here. Why would he want to leave here?
He has more control here than he probably would anywhere else.
In most other places, right? Definitely not getting it in Dallas, and not that, you know, Jason...
Garrett.
Garrett is safe, I'm sure. This is where he has built his football resume. And it's going to be very cool. He's here to 2020. I mean, that'll put him at 15. I mean, that's amazing, man.
Any coach coached for 15 years? I mean, I guess Belichick. Yes.
Well, I mean, Belichick.
In the modern era.
I mean, I think maybe Andy Reid was in Philly for 10 or 11 years.
I think 10 has been kind of the, you know.
Wore a quit after 10, right?
Or 11. Yeah. How about the chin in Pittsburgh? Cower. Pittsburgh's only had three coaches, you know, Chuck Knoll, Cower, and
Tomlin.
Right. I mean, that's it, you know.
Wow.
So, but it definitely, you know, Don Shula was in Miami for God knows almost 30 years, you know. So 15 years is pretty awesome, especially like you said, Jeff, in the modern era.
Right.
Only, you know, Belichick so far has that. So that's awesome, and that stability is great.
Model franchise.
Yeah. So, of course, I love it. I love Sean Payton again. Same thing said at the end of the college football season where they were threatening to run Miles off. Well, who are you going to get?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what is the likelihood that you strike gold or oil twice with getting another Super Bowl winning coach? You know, how often did that happen? Now, you might have a coach be promoted from within, like George Seifert in San Francisco in the 90s, you know, and he won a Super Bowl. You had the Dallas Cowboys after Jimmy Johnson left. They brought in Barry Switzer. But that team.
That team was loaded. He just won with that team.
I could have coached that team. He actually underperformed with that team, in my opinion. You know, he actually underperformed with that team.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Yeah, so he's going to go get that. That's ridiculous. Sean Payton is the best coach out there. So happy he's here.
Well, he's got 10 years experience.
Yeah. And again, he knows what he's doing. Him and Mickey get along. I don't know. Look, Jeff Ireland is not, you know, that was the big hire that I don't think we realized last year. That was the big move in talent evaluation.
Well, I think the Dome Patrol podcast.com did realize it.
We made a big deal out of it.
Well, we've talked about it a few times. We probably have not brought it up enough to give it its due, but maybe as we go into this draft and we start to see the results of Ireland from last year's draft and this year's draft on the field, looking back, right, hindsight being 2020, then I think we did predict, though, when it happened, that this is going to be a significant thing that we're going to look back on and say was a significant point in the course correcting,
right,
of Sean Payton's era.
Right.
Especially when they referenced, what was it, in the summer or in the fall at some point? Somebody had referenced how off our scouting team was. It was in a report or somewhere, which, you know, again, that was a short-term hindsight that was talking about why Jeff Ireland was brought in. Was that Reapish guy that went to the Bears, and everybody was upset because he was the Mickey Loomis's protege, or he was some kind of whatever, and he went to the Bears.
Ryan Pace went to the Bears.
Oh, Ryan Pace went to the Bears. The Reapish guy, whoever he was. But yeah, those couple of guys that we thought were guys, up-and-comers or whatever, now you look back and you realize they were responsible for the mess we're in. Now, granted, right, we got picks ripped away from us with the freaking bounty gate. Didn't help.
Yeah, but he still drafted Jean-Baptiste in the second round. I mean, you could just look back at the past drafts and see there ain't much left from those. And that's, you know, that's why Reapers.
But we all bought into that.
Well, because we're fans. You're going to buy – initially, you're going to buy into – you want to
– Yeah, you never make a bad pick in a draft.
I mean, look, you know, when every team –
a fan will never tell you it's a bad pick.
That's the thing. When we have the draft and you bring in all these players, we talk ourselves into these players because we want them to succeed. We want them to be good picks.
Yeah.
So, of course, we'll find a way to look at them and say, all right, you know, I could see it. This kid's got – for whatever reason.
You only look at the upside. And what we don't know is what the scouts see is work ethic, right? Locker room mentality.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way to know.
Which scouts don't really even see that.
You try to pick up on it.
All right.
So it also gives Payton a nice cushion if, with the Benson situation, if for some crazy reason Rita ends up taking over in 2 years, you know. I mean, it probably won't, but if it does and she fires him, then he still gets all that money coming to him.
But I thought him and her had a good relationship. Did that change?
Maybe at one point they had a decent relationship. I think it clearly changed. I mean, they. I don't think Payton and Loomis like I said, they were ready to walk out the door if she took them.
Well, yeah, now, you're right, and that, which could be the five. Right, that's the 5 year where Benson knows. And Damon, chime in here because you're our Benson beat reporter. But give them 5 years. That's when we know that the whole Benson issue, legal issues, are going to be finished and done with.
Yeah, because he'll be dead.
Well, Mr. Benson isn't guaranteed 5 years. I mean, so I don't know. I mean,
right? We'll know by then. But can't, yeah, I mean, you sign him to 5 years, you could fire him at any point, right?
Yep.
If he goes 3-13 for the first two of those 5 years, they could fire him.
Oh, you can. You can do whatever you want. Yep. But then they're on the hook for his salary.
Yeah, but it doesn't count against the cap, so who cares?
That's what's important.
Apparently, even if it is against the cap, Mickey don't care.
That is true, too. Huh?
All right. So next headline is the Saints signed defensive tackle Nick Fairley to 1 year, which last week we were all—I was kind of like, "Eh, I don't care. I don't really want him." But
now you're all on board.
Woo! Oh yeah,
just like Jason said, we can talk ourselves into it.
You're damn right. Fit into any signing. Yes, absolutely. And he's probably not a long-term deal, but if he can come in and play solidly like Kevin Williams did last year, then so be it. What's interesting to me is it's a 1 year deal, but
it's a 3 year deal.
It's kind of like a 3 year deal, but it's really a 1 year.
No, it's a 3 year deal that he automatically expires if he's on the roster
after
in February.
So he's able to spread out his signing bonus over 3 years, even though it's effectively a 1 year deal.
Loomis math.
Like, that is just magic Loomis math at its finest, right there.
Now, some people were bitching that what we've basically done is we've added dead money.
Future dead money.
Right, future dead money for the next 2 years.
Why not? Why not? Because we're clearing this dead money out. Mickey's budget clearly allows for, what, $30 million in dead money?
Every year, right. Well, that's what he figures. He's got Junior and Jimmy's dead money coming off the books next year, so he could just plug it in with whatever else we do.
Good God.
It's the cycle, you know, the circle of life. The circle
Like y'all have said in the past couple of episodes, like, I just would love to go into a season with $5 million. $5 million of dead money. We wouldn't have the Breeze fight. I mean, somebody in re-listening to last week's episode when y'all two were really going at it over Breeze's contract. Somebody made a point that you're right. If we didn't have the $25 million in dead money, the Breeze contract issue wouldn't be an issue.
And like I said, a few shows ago, I'd rather take my lumps and just not keep pushing money in. Just take all of our hits this year, so that next year we can start fresh and actually make some signings if you have to. But as shown with these other deals that they did earlier in the week to clear up more space, they just.
But the thing with that was Morstead and
it was Morstead, Jordan, and then Ingram, three guys. Right. But
those guys are young enough that they're going to see that they're going to see the end of their contract.
They're going to see maybe not the last year, but they'll see most of it. I agree with you. They will see most of it.
But it's nice that they restructured.
So when you restructure, all you're doing is taking money now. You're taking money now that was promised to you later, and you're turning it into a signing bonus. So they're not giving anything up.
They're not Saints for doing it.
Well, look, the players are getting more money. They're getting a fat check now instead of having to get it over their game checks during the season.
Right. So,
yeah, but Breeze won't do that.
Well, we'll see. I don't
know. Well, Breeze has to do an extension. He only has 1 year left.
Right,
so
right.
He can't push any money to next year. There is no next year.
Yeah, we already did that.
Okay.
You know, there is no next year. Right. He did it last year, which is why this number is why it pushed it up to 30. I think it's supposed to be 25. Mm-hmm. So, no, that sort of thing is very, of course, every player is going to do it because, like they said, Jason said, it's money that you were promised next year. Well, we're going to give it to you now and make it a signing bonus and stretch it out.
Gotcha.
So, you know, so that's easy.
Okay. Yeah, they don't fucking care what the salary cap is. They get a check now. Yeah, do it.
Morstead and Jordan both are getting money up front now.
And Ingram.
Okay.
So now we're like $3 million under the cap now,
which is enough to sign your rookies.
And that doesn't count Brandon Browner. because he's a June 1st cut. He's still on the roster.
Are we going to save or are we going to pay?
No, we're going to save another. We're going to push another $2 million to next year, so we'll create two more million. $2.5 million this year.
Fucking Loomis.
Is it that much? I thought it was like $1.5 million.
I'm pretty sure it's 2.25.
You know, but that's June 1st.
It doesn't matter. At this point, there's nobody left to sign until the draft, right?
Until the draft, yeah.
Right. Well, and then look, then you'll have, you know, you'll have veterans cut during training camp that you could possibly remember going into the 2006 season. I think two of the three linebackers that started for us, you know, weren't here. You know,
right. It's like new players.
Right.
Well, then that's a question. Do you think we're done with free agents, or we still go out and maybe sign a guard?
Well, who's left?
I mean, there's not much out there. I think in their guy, Vasquez, he was a guard for Denver. I think he might still be out there.
I mean, you bring a camp body in, right?
Well, I mean, we still need a guard, whether that's through the draft or free agency. We still need a starting guard.
Well, bring him in if he's got nowhere to go. But you can still cut him.
All this depends on how the draft goes. Who falls to you? Who do you get? How do they look at Ricky Minicamp? I mean, there's a lot of, you know, playing around. I mean, look, there will be a guard that we could shove into that position.
But why hasn't Vasquez, if that's in there, gone yet? I mean, to me, at this point, if somebody's not signed, you got to ask yourself why he hasn't signed, and should we even waste our time with him?
Maybe he's asking for too much, and teams don't think he's worth it.
Well, then come here, buddy. We'll pay you. Mickey, what do you want? You know what we could do? We're going to write you a contract.
I'll sign you a two-year deal with $6 million of a signing bonus spread out.
There you go. And look, we're going to leave a blank, and you just write in your salary. How's that?
I don't know. When I say pay, just ask you the price.
Go ahead. You want it cheap, I'll get it to you cheap, because you're a good man. You're a friend, son. What's up? How much you want that for?
$900.
I'll tell you what, I'll give it to you for $400, and I'll also give you two slaps across your fucking mouth because I like you. How's that? You got it for $400.
Yeah.
You crazy. I knew that would spike your little tone up there, you crazy bastard.
So here's the question now. All right, so the moves that we made on defense, and Damon, you good point about players that we signed last year that are going to be new to the defense this year because they never fucking played. Mm-hmm. Players that we signed 2 years ago that are going to be new to the defense because they never fucking played. Dennis Allen's your defensive coordinator. You believe that he can bring us to a Midland defense with the personnel that we're now giving him? And what did he do with Denver, like 18th or 20th or something? Defense?
So somewhere around there with a rookie, right? He was a, you know.
But I do like I said last week, I like that we went out and just got a bunch of defensive guys. And the numbers for Laurinaitis came out, and it's really, really reasonable for a guy that I think is going to be our starting middle linebacker. It's only 3 years, $9 million.
Interesting, though. Why did the Rams cut him and Fairley, and we picked them both up?
I think Fairley's deal was only 1 year, so I think he was a free agent. But Laurinaitis, his cap figure was going to be like $7 or $8 million, and they just thought that was too much.
Okay. It wasn't because...
I mean, look, that's like us cutting Jari because his cap number was $7 million. He's solid. At $3 million, we probably would have kept him.
Gotcha. I just didn't want it to be like, I mean, if you're not good enough for the Rams, he shouldn't be good enough for us.
So, and he did say he really, when he was looking around, he really wanted to go to a place with a quarterback. That was his kind of number one driving factor in terms of where he was going to go. So he's already, you know, looking for a place down here, seems to be really excited. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to bring to this defense.
He'll really give us that veteran leadership in the center. And look, one of the things that we've heard over the last 3 years is that guys weren't in place. I think Laurinaitis is that player. I don't know that he's physically as gifted as Vilma was, but I think he's a cerebral player, and he'll be able to make sure that defense is lined up.
That's good. That's
that's a great point. And considering how many times guys would just point at each other and look completely lost.
Well, I mean, look, watching it, you know, fans that listen to us, you can't tell when you're watching it on TV like you can when you're in the stadium. And, you know, Jason knows he was there. He's in the stadium. Our defense, literally half the time, you know, they guys were looking at one another, like, you know, where am I supposed to go? Who's supposed to have it? It was horrendous.
They were confused.
They were very confused.
Because one, the scheme was too difficult, and two, you had no leader on the field.
Right. And that's right. And that's the thing. And I mean, that's the, you know, it was Anthony with the middle linebacker last year, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And he, you know, God bless him. He wasn't, I don't, you know.
Look, he played well, considering, but I mean, he was just a rookie.
Well, right. But as a middle linebacker, you have two responsibilities, you know, not only the tackling and being, you know, chasing the ball.
Not only the playing of the football.
Right, but you have to set your defense, you know, just like, you know, you're the quarterback on defense. And he, you know, not his fault that he wasn't ready for it. And so this year, man, you put Laurinaitis in the center, you move Anthony, I'm not sure, you know, weak or strong side, and you let him just play and go be disruptive. I'm looking forward to that.
So let's move on. Saints offseason program begins on April 18th. Who's excited about this?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. Sure.
I mean, they'll be there working out 3 days a week. That's it. I mean, I don't care. You know, that's not exciting.
Right.
Sounds like we're moving on. All right. To look at him tweets. And our first tweet comes from Doug Balish.
Oh, Doug. We got to keep taking Doug's tweets.
Yeah, we do. I think Damon's going to start feeding Doug his tweets.
Yeah.
All right. So,
No.
Doug's tweeting on his own, you know.
Okay.
Unlike Jason, Doug is a man and is capable of doing things by himself.
So Doug says, why don't y'all let Damon talk more on the show? No, I'm kidding. No, for real, he says, Mickey's contracts might trigger an IRS audit. Talk about creative accounting with the Nick Fairley deal. And y'all kind of alluded to that, but it's at least worth reading the tweet if y'all had anything else to say about it.
Hey, look, he knows the NFL cap tax code. You know, if he knows it, take advantage of it.
It would not surprise me. I don't know. Maybe other teams and other contracts have been laid out like this. I don't know. But it would not surprise me if we don't have a Mickey rule. Because of that.
Hey, it's better to do it before the rule's made, right?
Yeah.
Hey, if we can get away with it right now, more power to him. I mean, every year we're like, oh, cap hell, it's not going to work. And yet somehow every year he finds a way.
The history of evolution has taught us that life will not be contained. Life breaks free, it expands to new territories, and it crashes through barriers painfully, maybe even dangerously. But I'm simply saying that life... finds a way.
Yes, that's why I think so many people are so nervous every year, but we on the Dome Patrol podcast
.com
are never nervous, except Damon. All right, so the next tweet that comes from Long Island Iced Tea at Alan Michaels Show. Thanks to Damon of the Dome Patrol podcast for talking Saints, but you need fang-toothed edge rushers. All right, so Damon, let's just tell people here, like, this is the second time that you've represented the Dome Patrol podcast on 103.7 The Game in Lafayette on the Alan Michael Show. Thank you, Alan Michael, for having us on the show or having Damon on the show.
And right there, what he's referencing is we were talking about the draft and who to take at number 12. And I was saying, and I believe then and still believe now, I'd like to take Treadwell out of Ole Miss. And he was saying go for a defensive guy, yeah. You know, I mean, you know, so that's, I mean, I don't know if we're going to have a draft talk or anything, or you want to discuss that here, but look, I think Treadwell is going to be the, I think he's going, you know, I think he's going to be the best player available when we're on the board.
Pick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be, I know some projection of like Sheldon Rankins, a defensive tackle. I think with defensive tackle, there's a,
they're deep.
You're right. There's a lot of them. So if you want a defensive tackle, I think you can wait.
Into the second.
The player that I would look at would be a guy like Shaq Lawson, a defensive end, just speed edge rusher. I'm kind of torn between a guy like that and then Treadwell. Like, I wouldn't be mad if we took Treadwell, you know? I mean, I'd kind of lean towards defense because that's what we really need. But if we took Treadwell...
I guess, if you look at the... I don't... The, I mean... The coaches I pray know this better than I do, even though their last four drafts might argue that they don't. You know, which one of those players are, I'm going to say a sure thing, you know, that makes it easy, you know. Do you know?
Well, that brings up a tweet from Glenn Fitz here, who played Pickhams last year. If Josh Hill is gone, what do y'all think about Baby Gronk in like fifth or sixth round?
Well, unfortunately, Josh Hill is back.
Yes.
We matched him. I guess we didn't talk about that in headlines. We actually matched his deal. I can't believe
it. Oh, we can't. Well, maybe he's good for blocking.
That's what I thought. That's what we had him on the new E for.
Right, right. Yeah, look, the that Josh Hill resign, you know, we're matching the offer to the Bears. Really, I was like Jason said, I think we took us all by surprise. The only thing I can guess, I mean.
He's a good.
He played special teams?
Peyton has a boner for the guy. For whatever reason, Peyton has a boner.
Hey, look. Remember, at the end of that two seasons ago, he was catching a few touchdowns. He caught like two or three touchdowns.
Yeah, but going down the stretch last year, he disappeared.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
But they weren't using it. Because Ben Watson was on fire.
Okay.
I don't know. If Hill was good enough, he would have made time.
No, I disagree. You give it to the hot hand.
Well, I just think it was it's after signing Fleener and re-signing Kamana Nui.
Ben Watson made us forget about Jimmy Graham.
Well, I don't know about that, but.
I do. We all said Jimmy who a lot of times.
Well, that's because we hated him because Jimmy was a dick.
You're 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 a dick.
I just, you know, I just didn't expect us to commit that kind of money to a third tight end. But
oh, you're right.
On behold, we did. So I guess they have a plan in place. I don't know. Right. I mean, because even if they don't take Treadwell, I do think they do need to take a receiver in this draft, at least in the first couple of rounds. I still think we do need a receiver on this team.
But
you can't really – I mean, look, you got Cooks and Snead. Coleman, you'd like to think he's going to keep growing, but that I mean – jury's still out on him. I mean, would you be comfortable
tall enough? I mean, how tall do you want him to grow?
Well, it's not just about fucking tall. I mean,
that's a joke, that's... asshole.
Sorry, I was in the heat of the moment.
All right. But I want to go back to this Alan Michael show on 103.7 The Game. Shameless plug. That now, Damon, you've been on it twice. I mean, and Alan, Michael, I'm going to call you out because I know you're listening. I mean, do we want to make this a regular thing? I mean, I think this is great. A little symbiotic relationship. Maybe we get him on the show on the Dome Patrol podcast.
I would love it. He has a vast knowledge of all sports, but we are obviously we used to talk Saints here, and then
you know he's originally from
some kind of play. Yes, I do. No, look, after being on the show, I wasn't aware of him living in New Orleans, but nowadays with the wonderful world, you know, the interwebs, you can listen. You can listen to anyone anywhere. So at work, look, he's better than anything we have on during the day for sports. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree, because I've listened, you know, ever since you've been
on. We have nothing.
Tune in every now and then, and 1037thegame.com, you can listen to their entire show, or you can clip it out. They clip it out for you.
Mm.
And, like, the two of you seem to have a good rapport.
Well, yeah, he's been super nice. I enjoy going to the show and getting to give my opinion and appreciate
him. Do you yell at him?
Well, no. Well, he will.
He will.
He's not an idiot. You know. Okay. That's the thing. He's not an idiot.
Alan, the next time you have him on, just bring up Giselle's name.
Oh, that would be awesome if you did.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. It would be epic. We'll play the clip of your show on our show. No, but I think that's fantastic. I think we ought to come up with some sort of a.
Oh, look, I wish
on
he,
them, him on us.
Segment name, you're going to have to get a little bumper music, too.
I know where your head went on.
Yeah, Jeff, yeah, that sounded terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a Matt joke right there for all you lifeguards out there. All right, we're going to move on from this topic. We're going to go into NFL Reach Around. All right. right. And so the only thing I really have for NFL Reach Around, unless you guys have anything after that, is Sean Payton was interviewed about helmet technology, or really about player safety in the NFL. And he did talk about helmet technology and how he has saw a prototype during the Senior Bowl of some new helmets, or a new helmet. And in his answer to a question was saying that he expects over the next 2 to 3 years that the advancement of helmet technology will be at, quote, warp speed. And he believes that that's where you start with player, like, and I guess without saying it, he was probably alluding to, if you want to affect player safety, don't do it through the fucking rules and the penalties. Do it through the fucking technology of what you wear on your head. And he talked about how if you look at automobiles from the 60s and 70s, the driver absorbed most of the impact from the crash. And you look at it today, and that's not the case anymore. Whereas the helmets of today are still absorbing more. Your head is still absorbing more of the crash, just as it did in the 60s and 70s. And it's time to move forward with our helmet technology. I don't know if you guys had any thoughts on helmet technology, where you think it go. I mean, they really didn't say anything about where it could go. But what do you do with a fucking helmet?
Well, look, there are different helmets that protect your head better for concussions, and yet the NFL has not mandated these particular helmets. Now, some of them, the players say, oh, they're too goofy looking, they don't fit right, but tests have been done, and they've been proven to better prevent head injuries.
I mean, Sean Payton's right. That definitely is where you do the equipment. You go to the equipment to get better safety going down, you know.
Not the rules.
Now, if from what Jason just said, he's right. Some of these people who make the helmets have come out and said that their helmets are superior. Again, I don't know how.
Follow the money.
Right. I'm not sure who's done the testing, but, you know, Dame Lozano Inc., who has this helmet, says it's the best for concussions.
Right.
I would hope that the NFL would be involved with someone, you know, Rydell or somebody, whoever makes the helmets. I would hope they would be promoting that technology, and I guess they are. Well, but if Sean Payton saw it, but he saw it at the Senior Bowl, and I don't know who brought it.
Because you can probably force college players to wear them before you can make NFL players wear them.
Well, right? No, yeah, just like the NFL. I mean, look, you got to go through the NCAA, just like you have to go through the NFL. I mean,
yeah, but you don't have a players' association with the NCAA that you do in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be pretty crappy if the NFL came out and said, look, you know, this helmet is better at protecting concussions. I don't think the NFLPA would say, oh, no, but they look funny. We don't want to wear them, you know.
Well, that's what Jason just said.
Well, but Jason, you know, come on.
Of course, Damon's always going to say that. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I don't think the NFL pressed this issue until maybe recently with all the head injury issues going around. And now they're finally...
Of course.
They're finally maybe...
And that's what Sean Payton said himself. Sean Payton said that if you want the NFL to do something, the noise has to get loud enough. And at this point, player safety noise is deafening. So that's why the NFL is number one priority is player safety. And they're attacking it from every angle. Now, equipment, rule changes, suspensions of coaches perhaps that might be accused on a cocktail napkin of bounties. I don't know. The other side of the coin comes from players who used to play have come out and said, even if they had told me that my playing in the NFL would lead to CTE, I would still play. I would still do. The players want to play.
And look, when you're 23, you believe you are invincible. That will not happen to me. You know, I remember when Jeff was a lifeguard, you know, he was all skinny. I will not get fat. Well, look, you know.
Hold on now. I'm under 200.
Anyway. You know, when you were 18, did you think you would look like you did?
Hell no. That's why I wrote the bicycles off the high diving board, too. I didn't think I could hurt it.
Right. Right. So, look, when you're 18, you know, 19 and 20
years
old.
That's why 30 is old in the NFL.
Right. And that's why we shouldn't listen to any 18, 19, 20-year-old. Because they don't. None of us know what the fuck we're talking about then. You know? It's not that they're particularly stupid. They're just inexperienced. You know?
There you go. That's true. All right. Let's move on. Let's do a quick Pelican plug.
The game.
You
And I'll lead this one. Did y'all hear the Pelicans are going to be playing 2016-17 season? What is it? 1/3 of their games across the Gulf Coast, not just in the arena anymore.
That they're
playing in Biloxi and Pensacola. But they're going to kind of spread it out because they can't sell tickets.
April Fool's isn't funny.
Ha ha! Damn it, Jason.
Yeah, I mean,
come on.
Whenever someone listens to this, they won't be able to first, you know.
I have to, and I know, but it's...
At least you try, but I hate April Fool's.
Actually, it was an article that I read from Brian Alley Walsh wrote that, so give him a little credit.
Well, since we're in the plunge, we did get some more injuries. I mean, this season just keeps getting crazier and crazier with injuries.
Of course we did.
You know, Jrue Holiday.
Have 5 players to play anymore?
We've been signing guys off the street, these young guys, to 10-day contracts, and somehow they've been winning games. Even when we need to be losing, they're winning games. But Jrue Holiday got elbowed in his eye, and he suffered a fractured eye socket.
Oh, my.
He's done. We shut him down for the year.
Oh my God!
At least it's not his leg. But I mean, even Gentry is joking about trying to find a voodoo doctor to try to figure out what the hell curse is going on. I mean, this is—it's just kind of unfathomable how many guys are just lost for the season. We also Alonzo G had an injury, and we lost him for the season too. So I mean, look, at this point, I'll go to a game and be completely happy if we lose.
Just for the frickin' barbecue nachos.
It's all about the ping pong balls and the lottery odds, and we'd be best served to lose every game the rest of the way, except the Lakers game that's here next week, just because I want to beat Kobe. And okay. fuck all the Laker fans that are going to be in attendance.
All right, let's move on. Jason has forced us to do a golf segment, everyone, so I'm going to go grab another beer while Nathan talks about golf.
I'm going to take a piss.
Ugh, it's not only golf. God, it's the Masters. So the Masters is finally upon us next week, first major of the season. The azaleas are in bloom at Augusta National, and I couldn't be more ready for this event. So many top golfers are playing really well. So many guys have a chance to win. You've got former Masters champions winning. Charles Schwartzel won a few weeks ago. Adam Scott has won twice already. Jason Day, who's now the number one player in the world, won the last two tournaments, including the match play. You've got Rory looking for the career Grand Slam. Two-time Masters winner Bubba Watson has already won this year. And the Masters is just the best golf week of the year. It's the only major held at the same course every year.
I'll give you that.
So there's familiarity with it. It's so revered, and it's definitely a spot on my bucket list that I really want to go to one day.
When we're 65, we'll go.
But just so much to look forward to. So many.
Oh Jesus! You still talking about this shit? I thought that fucking excited. Stop it already! My God, you're boring everybody.
Oh, he's talking about the Masters. The Masters,
right?
Okay. Oh, the Masters.
The Masters is fucking great.
Here.
Right?
Look, here.
Damon, there's 60.
No! Stop!
Here! I'll spoil the one. Tiger isn't playing. No one cares.
Everybody cares because he's not playing. He came out today and officially said, obviously, he's not going to play. There was some speculation that he might play, but anybody...
Is Tiger going to be...
Tiger is done. Tiger is washed up, okay? He's done.
Do you think Tiger becomes a TV personality, or does he just fade away into obscurity?
No, I think... Well, look, he's only 40 years old.
Oh, that's right. He's going to out and play in the...
He's still... Look, he's doing the right thing and not... rushing back. He needs to get healthy first, and he's still now. Look, will he win another major again?
Nope. Thank you.
He can come back, and I think he can win. You know, a normal PGA event, but
the Riverland Golf Classic.
Right, look, right. He'll finally come play in New Orleans.
Yeah, he'll come play at TPC.
Right, I
want to see him back competing again because he does bring excitement.
That
to the
would
game.
Actually be good.
Yeah, but I don't think he's necessarily going to play all these number events. I think he'll still play his normal events he plays, but I think he can actually win an event like that.
Sure, he can win in New Orleans. Yeah,
I just
he can win tournaments where the best players don't show up. Exactly.
You're always going to have I think he could actually still win a Masters, I think.
Oh, excuse me. I want that as a steak bet. Steak bet.
Okay, steak bet.
I will buy you a steak.
Okay, steak bet. Tiger with the Masters.
We'll win a Masters.
I don't care. That will last
forever.
Yeah, forever.
If Tiger Woods wins a Masters, I will owe you a steak.
Okay, but when does he owe you a steak?
When Tiger Woods retires.
Well, no. When
he moves on to the
senior. But he can still play in the Masters when he's a senior. He can always play in the Masters.
But we're going to put that as the cutoff.
Well, look, I'll say he's got a realistic shot until he's 50.
So
you got 10. He's 40 right now, so you got 10 years.
Okay, 10 years. That's a 10-year steak bet. He wins the Masters within 10 years, I will buy you a steak.
Okay.
When was his last major was in 2008?
No, you're right.
2008.
Yeah.
2008.
Damon, you want in on this? Jason's buying steaks.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'm in too. Yeah, we're in. All right.
Two steaks. Okay.
But I don't know, 10 years. I mean, who the fuck's going to remember in 10 years? I mean.
Oh, we're going to still be doing the podcast 10 years. We're going to remember. You know, we're going to bring it up every time.
But his last, 2008. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
It was.
And you saw, I mean, I don't know what the longest, the longest.
Drought between majors is?
Right.
I don't know.
It's not a drought between majors because he's not going to win it again.
Touché. Yeah, very good.
Right. So let's move
on. You're right. Yeah.
But let's just say I'm really, really looking forward to next week.
All right. So final thoughts, Jason. Did I miss anything?
No, I don't think so. Final thoughts. I will be seeing Batman vs. Superman tomorrow.
Look, I've seen it. Do not listen to the critics. It is a very good movie. Jeff, go see it.
Damon feels like it's a good movie. You know it's a good movie.
And I finally did start Daredevil, so I'm three episodes in on Daredevil.
All right.
So far, so I'm excited about that. It's been good so far. And apparently, one last thing. Apparently, there's a... You know, the big finale of The Walking Dead is Sunday.
Oh, boo.
Hour and a half, supposed to be big.
Damn, this was a good run. And it's too short, man.
Actually, I don't know. The last episode, I thought, didn't make a lot of sense. It was more to negotiate.
Setting up the finale, asshole.
I know, but it's not just that. It's like characters did things just to satisfy what the plot needed them to do. Like, it didn't make any sense for all them to go out.
Jason, right there. But the basically, game. all your badasses decide to leave Alexandra at the world.
Yeah, it made absolutely no sense.
Because
I know you want to justify it, but it did.
No, but as a writer of the show, you have to put all your pieces out there at risk, especially if.
Well, they needed to do a better job of doing it.
Well, no, the expectation is that somebody's gonna fucking die. Somebody big is fucking dying next week. So you have to put him in a position to die.
Well,
you can't make it predictable. You can't only send Daryl out and everybody be like, well, we're going to stay here and protect Alexander. Well, you know who's fucking dying.
Well, no, look, people have to get out there, but they did a poor job of doing that. It just didn't make
I disagree.
It didn't make a lot of sense.
I disagree. You're being one of those guys.
Not.
You're being a critic. Enjoy the ride.
I enjoy the show, but I'm not gonna
the comic book.
I'm not gonna just go along with everything they do and say everything's fucking awesome.
I am.
If something doesn't look right, I'll.
I'm a Saints fan. I do that with the Saints. I don't want to sign Nick Fairley. We sign Nick Fairley. Oh, he's the best fucking defensive player on the market.
Hey, we drafted Stanley Jean-Baptiste. Kid's got a lot of talent.
Exactly.
Javaris Landry was still on the board when we did.
Hey, Morgan and Rick, we're in a car together. Well, of course they would. That's exactly what I would do. So, quick question on Walking Dead, by the way. Spoiler alert. Carol is pretty much off the show until they want to bring her back.
I do think she's alive. I don't think she's dead.
I agree. I didn't say that. I said she's off the show until they want to bring
her. Do you think we see her in the finale?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. I don't think he's... Just like last time, she was going on an episode and she came and saved everybody. You know?
Maybe Negan kills her. That would be brutal.
I think that's it's time for her.
Because I mean,
well, if they're gonna make, well, come on, okay, let's stop this and finish the show. And if you want to talk about this, you will talk about it.
Well, no, we have a lot of fans who are interested in our opinions on the show.
Yeah,
they wanted a Walking Dead episode.
Did they? Did they equal one fan who said it on Twitter?
Neil. No, I'm kidding. I just want to give Neil a shout out. All right, Damon, final thought.
All right. I want to address something with Jason and I that we've been arguing about for the last couple of weeks.
It's like three things they could be.
Yeah, right.
No.
Choose your own adventure novel here.
No. Right. It's about Drew Brees and his contract. And I think I wasn't making myself clear when Jason and I were discussing it. I agree Drew Brees is a top five quarterback. Drew Brees wants to get all the money he can. The one thing, and tell me if I did say this, and y'all did get this, but I don't think you did. But I don't want to hear how Drew Brees is the ultimate team player. Will do everything just to get a win.
Where exactly do you hear that?
Where do I hear that Drew and are you
why I was thinking the same thing. Like I don't objectivity. I don't think anybody on this podcast.
Okay, and then maybe I've been projecting on Jason and you know.
Oh, you think so, Doctor?
Well, no, but again, I mean, well, no, I've been saying it wrong. You've been arguing with when I say about Tom Brady, I'm pointing out that Tom Brady is willing to sacrifice for his team.
Mm-hmm. I think we all agree with that, right?
Okay, yeah, I mean, yeah, all right, yeah, all right,
I
so
can, I can agree there.
Okay, so and again, maybe you're not saying, but you do believe that in the outside world, and outside being outside the podcast, outside world in general thinks that Drew Brees is this ultimate sacrifice, you know,
a saint.
Correct. Yes.
No, I don't know that they would say he's sacrifices. They would say he's driven and he's a winner. I don't know that people say, oh yeah, he'll sacrifice whatever for the team because hasn't really been proven to be the case. They said he's a leader, and yes, you can still be a leader.
Let me pause y'all both just to establish at least a step in this direction. We all agree. Jason never asserted that Drew Brees was a sacrifice kind of guy.
A selfless guy.
Jason never asserted that. And you're right, Damon. I think you might have projected that onto Jason because he's that guy when it
right.
comes to...
Ooh. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Because never did make that...
Everybody argument. Write this down. Jeff has had a great coherent thought.
Okay.
I am so proud of him.
Thank you.
Say that again, Jeff.
Nope.
No, he forgot what he just said.
Nope. But
you're right.
I get where Damon's coming from as well, in that all of your outside the Dome Patrol podcast
Deco.
People might think that because Drew Brees is very polished and he's taken a lot of PR skills, he could be running for president or governor. I mean, he's taken the Peyton Manning school of how to talk to the media and how to talk and how to present yourself and how to be a brand, right? It's Drew Brees is a brand.
100%.
And what Damon is always, from the day he joined the podcast, asserted is that the brand is bullshit.
Right.
And that's probably harshly putting it, but...
No. That's well, probably light. I think you're going light.
Well, I think the brand is the brand, and I think that's fine. His brand is that I'm this guy. And I think Jason's right at that point where it says the brand is... hard worker, I want to win, I'm willing to do what I need to do to win. And then that's where the division comes is, if you're willing to do what you need to do to win, what you're saying is, I'm willing to make my own personal commitment to practice and studying and all of that kind of stuff and leading the team.
Yeah.
But I'll stop doing what I need to do to win when it comes to making money.
Drew Brees is first and foremost for Drew Brees.
But it doesn't make him a villain.
It did not. Well, it doesn't make you a villain if you come out and in my book, if you come out and say this is who I am. But that is not who, like you said, that's not in that.
But,
would
but
not,
nobody,
that
nobody's
going to
do that. Aaron Rodgers doesn't go out and say, I want the most money that I can get.
But no, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't come out and try to hold on and doesn't try to portray himself like Drew Brees does. Look, Aaron Rodgers is an asshole.
Yeah.
He says many of asshole comments, you know.
Yeah.
He'll throw people under the bus that Drew would never do.
Yeah.
You know, and he does his little, you know, discount double check. I don't know what the belt.
Aaron Rodgers is a douche, yeah.
He is definitely a douche.
He is a douche. He doesn't pretend not to be. Drew Brees, right. I think that's the whole thing, is where Drew Brees is that guy. He's the politician of the NFL.
He's the douche.
He's the politician.
An asshole. He's a selfish bastard.
He's Frank Underwood.
But that's always been the problem.
That's kind of like Peyton Manning was always super polished off the field, but all of his contracts were he never took less to stick around. So you could say the same thing about.
I mean, look.
He brought multiple teams to multiple Super Bowls.
he's
good, but
Peyton Manning did take a pay cut last year
because he was done, because he didn't have a choice, because he was washed up. That's why.
No. Look. Coming into last, you're trying to compare Peyton Manning at the last six games to. That was not the Peyton Manning that you got at the end of 2014. Trust me, Houston would have paid if Denver would have cut him. Houston would have happily paid Peyton Manning last year.
Which, a bunch of people, right? It wouldn't have made it a good decision. Necessarily.
Well, it was a good decision for Denver, you know.
Well, Denver also had defense.
But, right. He wasn't a great quarterback for every team, but he was definitely a great quarterback for several teams. But again, but he still took the, you know, he still took the pay cut.
Hold on.
It's not totally different. Don't you remember when Peyton Manning was leaving Indianapolis? It was in the papers. It was reported that he told his agent not to press for the highest deal.
Okay, so he got like the third highest deal.
Okay.
Got $20 million.
That's fine. He got less than he could have. Drew Brees is not about getting less than he can. Do you not see the difference?
We'll see what the final number.
I'm asking you a question, Jason. Can you answer it or not?
Nope. We'll see what the final number comes.
You can't answer it. You don't see the difference.
That's the bad question. We don't know what Brees' number is.
Negotiating with Denver for his last contract.
That is correct.
All right.
Drew Brees'
last contract?
Yeah.
Well, his next one, yeah. I mean, at 37, I would imagine so.
Okay.
Unless he's doing a bunch of one-year deals, I would imagine.
But don't we feel like the difference between the two might be, objectively speaking, that when Peyton Manning did it, he knew he had much less time.
Well,
and Drew Brees walks in feeling like he's been announcing for several years, I can play till I'm 45.
Well, maybe, I don't know. But remember, this deal with Denver was done 4 years ago Peyton Manning was younger than Drew. So,
but he was also coming off that neck injury that, you know what?
Yeah, he sure
might
was.
Not make it past a year.
He couldn't even feel his fingertips.
Right.
Well, so by the time.
It's
by
a
the
little time, bit of apples and oranges.
I'm pretty sure by the time he was signing his contract, he knew he was going to be able to play.
Somebody signed for him because he couldn't.
You know. No. He signed it.
He had to sign left-handed.
Right. No. He signed his own. I'm pretty sure he knew he was going to.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's unfair to compare.
You can't compare right now because
Peyton Manning it was all a level playing field. They're all different people. They're all different.
Well, hold on. All again, you change. That's fine. Drew Brees. All I'm saying is Drew Brees is a selfish Drew Brees first guy. That's it. That's what I'm saying. He's not this.
I don't think anybody has ever argued that.
We're not arguing that point.
You know, Peyton Manning.
Now I feel like you're.
And Tom Brady. Have proved. Yeah,
now,
oh, you're fucking,
now he
you're
wants
fucking
to
right.
London, now he
you're
wants to
fucking.
Oh, okay, good.
Peyton Manning right. and Tom Brady have both proven.
You know what I love about you, Damon?
Have both proven.
You know what I love about you, Damon? As I said, I feel like you're emphasizing the selfish prick asshole narrative, and you double down on it. You're fucking right, I am. Thank
well,
you.
Well, yeah.
You got my point.
Well, yeah, that's my point. That is the point. Point, you asshole, you know that. Yeah, Brees is a selfish prick.
Okay,
that's it. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Let me finish my fucking thought.
All right,
Peyton Manning and Tom Brady have both proven in their contracts they are not.
Okay.
Drew Brees has never done such a thing.
You're right. You're right. Now, here's the thing I want you to say to all our fans, because I agree. Drew Brees is not going to say – I don't believe Drew Brees will ever sacrifice his fucking checkbook for anything.
For a dollar.
All right.
He would watch your child die if it cost him a penny.
Right. Okay.
Okay? That's what he would do. Everyone knows this thing.
Let's just make it clear to the listeners who might be listening to the show saying, oh, my God, I'm listening to a podcast who doesn't love my quarterback. It's okay that he's that guy. We're okay that he's that guy.
No, I'm not okay that he's that guy.
Why not?
Because he tried to tell me he's not that guy.
But you want him on your team to play.
Oh, on the field. Wait a second. Now you're talking about a different subject here.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I want him on the field because he is the greatest quarterback that's ever played for this.
What you've convinced me, Damon, is, all right, I recognize Drew Brees for who he is as that guy.
Who is he?
He's the selfish asshole who wouldn't sacrifice a penny to save your child. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Now, Jason. Hold on. I got one convert. Jason, who is Drew Brees? Jason, who is Drew Brees?
One convert.
Who is Drew Brees?
He's the best quarterback we ever had who also is all about the dollar off the field.
There you go.
And I accept that. That's fine.
The same statement, which is, right, we can
win a fucking Super Bowl with him, and that's what I want.
I would rather the selfish, greedy, money-grubbing asshole who can also win me a Super Bowl than, I don't know, Brock Osweiler?
I'm not saying that Brock Osweiler isn't a selfish, greedy asshole. I don't know.
I mean, but
I definitely don't.
He can't get the point.
But right.
I mean,
I take him over fucking, what, Gabbert? Blaine Gabbert?
I would take him over, you know.
No, I don't know about that. Right now, at this stage, you take him over. Eli had more than 3 years left in him.
Let me reverse it. Who would you take over him?
Ooh. Rodgers, because he's younger.
Okay.
I know Luck, Brady, because you suck the cock.
Luck, because he's Brady. I mean, Luck, because he's younger.
Luck, because he's Brady.
That is
a Damon Freudian slip if there's ever been.
You know, Brady, because he has four Super Bowl rings, you know.
How much and time again, does Brady have left? Same as
no, Brady. he's older than Brees, I believe.
Yeah, he's a couple years older.
Wow.
Right.
He sure plays like he's younger.
He does. Yes, he does. Yes, he and he's tall too. He can see over the line.
That's the difference.
He can see over the line,
and he's got an offensive line blocking for him.
Yeah, but he can see over them. That's the main part, you know.
Well, he's playing for a model franchise.
This is true.
And married to a model wife.
Hey!
But an ex-model.
As your obligatory Giselle.
Right. I had to slip that in there.
Yeah, you know. But again, Drew Brees, though, on the field, yes. And I think he has
several more. This final thought is amazing. It's the best part of the show.
Yes, it is. Right. And again, I think Drew has a couple of more, you know, couple of more years where he's definitely the top five.
Pay him the money grubbing deal that he wants.
To an extent, yes. You have to because the cap. Look, the cap is going up. I was hoping to get him for $20 million a year. I thought that was going to be what the average quarterback was getting.
Can I interrupt you real quick on that? Shouldn't the cap going up be irrelevant to the point that somebody, again, I don't know who, but I imagine Jason on the show made. Is that, or Damon, it could have been either one of y'all, last week was it wouldn't be an issue if we didn't have $30 million
well,
in dead money.
Well, yeah, it's killer.
Drew Brees, and I think I said this last week, Drew Brees has absolutely no fault in where this organization has gone in a bad way for the last 2 years.
Good.
Not at all.
I think a lot of fans are probably happy to hear you say that.
Well, no. Well, my God, I'm not. You know, his contract is fine. He's played well. His contract is not our problem at all. Like I said, without Drew Brees, we'd have gone 2-14 and 3-13 over the last 2 years. You know, no. But it would be nice. It would be nice if he could have given some cap relief and maybe extended his
But he's not gonna do that.
Hold on.
Well, look, but also he could extend it. We don't even know, like, let's say he does it, we don't even know what the number is gonna be. Like, what if he goes in and asking for only?
I don't think he extends, y'all.
I don't think he extends either.
He's not extending
it, but by this point
he stands to make more money next year.
Well, if he extends and gets a nice $35-40 million check up front, you know, that's kind of enticing to get a $40 million check.
It's up to him, I think, to decide for himself whether he feels like he's going to make it through next year without getting hurt.
You're coming up, right.
Yeah.
And that's he signed an extension now, you get the security of getting that $40 million payment.
That's why the Saints are not signing any offensive linemen in the free agency. That's a bargaining movement, right? Oh, you think you're going to live through this year? Really? Zach Strafe is blocking on your right side. You sure you don't want to make an extension now?
Until anything gets done, like, what if he's only asking for 20 and Mickey's like, nah, I'll give you 18? Like, we don't know. Is it very likely? Yeah. No, but we don't know.
Jason, that's just...
You don't know! You can't say that definitively because...
Yes, I can!
Okay, go ahead. I will bet
my fucking cock and ball that Drew Brees is not asking for less than $20 million.
I said it's not likely.
I will bet anything.
I'm not gonna
about
bet.
This, Jason?
No, I'm not
How
betting.
About you bet and the
nope,
loser blows the other one? You can suck my balls like Cartman and Kyle.
How would you like to suck my balls?
What did you say?
I'm sorry. Actually, what I said was...
How would you like to suck my balls, Mr. Jason?
Holy shit, dude.
I'll pass.
If Drew Brees gets a contract anywhere under... $20 million.
All right, so back up.
Let's say he's asking for 21, 22, when he probably could get 24, 25. Would that technically be the same thing that Peyton Manning did several years ago? Not necessarily taking the maximum that he could get.
Guys, stop! You're arguing over something that
it's total speculation.
Let me finish.
I'm not arguing.
Could I finish? Okay, I'm finished. What is next year's dead money projected if we do?
I don't know.
If we don't fuck it up.
They don't have that. But definitely some for Nick Fairley.
Definitely some for Browner.
Right.
I mean, is it? Could we say 15?
No. It's under five.
Under five. Okay.
Right now.
So if Drew Brees extends now or he waits till next year, either way, it doesn't matter.
Wait a second. Stop. Again, y'all have, once again, this isn't what I'm arguing about, what Drew Brees should be paid. Again,
I think we solved that.
You moved on to another subject.
Point now is, how do you keep him through 2020?
You make him one of the top two highest paid players ever at 37 years old.
Boom.
Now, I am scared. Done. I am scared.
And you can do that because you don't have the dead money this year.
Yet. Right, but I am scared that you will – whatever contract he gets is going to leave us with another dead money year like we've had this year.
Who cares? By then it won't matter.
At that point, he's done. We're going to have dead money for all these other contracts. We're going to have one year where we might have literally like –
Damon, don't you get it? Drew Brees, Sean Payton, and Mickey Loomis all leaving together.
Yeah.
And they're going to leave us with a fucking – like –
We're going to have
Louisiana-sized crater in the earth.
we're going to have Scrooge McDuck's money bin filled with dead money.
Well, we had that this year, you know.
No. You thought you had it this year.
Hold on, I have one more final thought.
Oh, my God.
For all of you Saints fans around, you know, who listen to us, and some Hoki Gajon, a great LSU and Saints running back from the late 70s to 80s, and Hoki last year got cancer. And it's pretty bad. And he's been a longtime Saints scout. And then for the past, goodness, I don't know, 10, 15 years, he's been an analyst.
WWL.
On WWL. So we all...
With Henderson, calling the games with Henderson.
Right.
He was the color guy.
Right. So, and he's done a great job. We all love Hoki. So anyway, he had the cancer, and he's going under treatment. And last week, again, it's tumors. This cancer, tumors are growing all over his body. And
you know what type of cancer it is?
I don't ask me to say the name of it.
Okay.
But it's this very special type of cancer, and it grows in fat cells. So when I heard about it,
he's a big guy.
Yeah, and I worried about you, Jeff, when I heard it. But anyway, we'll move on. Hope. Anyway, listen, stop. We're being serious here. I'm trying to. So long story short, they, you know, Hokie, these medical bills are really tough. And Hokie, they started a GoFundMe page. GoFundMe.com, Hokie Gajan, which is H-O-K-I-E-G-A-J-A-N, Gajan. So you go search for it. And if you feel like dropping him $5, $10, a buck, go do it. I mean, he's a lifelong Saints fan, lifelong, you know, LSU fan, lifelong South Louisianian.
And with that somber note, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast. Bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, April Fool's shitty joke donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
There was a lot of shitty jokes on this April Fool's episode, wasn't there?
Good evening and welcome to the Money Program. Tonight on the Money Program, we're going to look at money. Lots of it, on film and in the studio. Some of it in nice piles, others in lovely clanky bits of loose change. Some of it neatly counted into fat little hundreds, delicate fibers stuffed into bulging wallets, nice, crisp, clean checks, pert pieces of copper coinage thrust deep into trouser pockets, romantic foreign money rolling against the thigh with rough familiarity, beautiful wayward curlicued banknotes, filigree copper grating cheek by jowl with tumbling hexagonal milled edges rubbing gently against the terse leather of beautifully balanced bank books. Sorry. But I love money. All money. I've always wanted money to handle, to touch, the smell of the rain-washed florin, the lure of the lira, the glitter and the glory of the guinea, the romance of the ruble, the feel of the franc, the heel of the Deutschmark, the cold antiseptic sting of the Swiss franc, and the sunburned splendor of the Australian dollar. I've got 90,000 pounds in cash drivers. I've got 40,000 French francs in my fridge. I got lots and lots of lira. Now the Deutschmark's getting dearer, and my dollar bills would buy the Brooklyn Bridge. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money. There is nothing quite as beautiful as cash. Some people say it's folly, but I'd rather have the lolly. With money you can make a smash. There is nothing quite as wonderful as money, 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 money. There is nothing like a newly minted pound.
Money, 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 money.
Everyone must hanker for the butchness of a banker. It's accountancy that makes the world go round, 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 round. You can keep your watch's ways, for it's only just a phase. It's money, money, money makes the world go round.